Okay, good morning. My message today is the power of speaking God's word. So in deference to that, I'm going to definitely be reading quite a few passages of God's word, since that's where the power is. Today, as we know, is Pentecost Sunday, so I feel it's appropriate to speak on the power of speaking God's word. We as human beings are blessed to be able to communicate through the spoken language. No other mammals can do that. They can convey messages and they can communicate, but not through the spoken language. So let's see what the Bible says about the spoken word of God. There's 3 points that I'm going to cover today. The first being the power of God's spoken word, God actually speaking. The second is the power of people speaking God's word. And the third and final is the power of speaking in tongues. It's Pentecost Sunday, so we definitely want to address that. So beginning with the power of God's spoken word, let's read Genesis 1, 1 through 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with it, or fruit with seed in it, excuse me. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So just imagine it. To me, it's just mind-blowing that God spoke everything into existence in 6 days. He just spoke it, and it was. It's just amazing how powerful the words, the spoken words. He didn't think it. He didn't in any other way create it but speak it, okay? And so that's where the power is in speaking. In Psalm 33, verse 6 through 9, David acknowledges the power of God's spoken word. He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth hear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. God is so good, so loving, so powerful, that he spoke us and all around us into existence. It's just amazing. The Bible also records God speaking to Moses. And at that time, Moses was a shepherd tending the flock in Exodus 3. And let me read that little piece there. Here we go. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses said, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So once again, he spoke instructions to Moses, telling him to remove his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground. He was instructing him in how to be reverent in front of God. God's spoken word in Genesis 15:16 changes the history, 400 years of history in Egypt. Recover the land Israelites left behind in Canaan. And he used Israel to judge pagan tribes for their idolatry and sinful ways in the covenant of pieces, or the covenant of Abraham that we've been studying with Pastor Michelle. He tells them that Abraham's descendants will be strangers in their own land and enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But here in this passage, God is saying, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take you out. So he's giving them hope. The second point, the power of people speaking God's word. I'm going to begin with Jesus, because Jesus is the best example of a person, a human being, speaking God's word. He was our model in flesh and blood to teach us about God and his plan for us. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke to heal, to withstand Satan's temptations, and to instruct us. Jesus spoke healing words in John 11:43-44 when he said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Simply put, but very powerful. Jesus spoke life and Lazarus lived. In Matthew 9:27-31, this is the New International Version, Jesus heals the blind and the mute. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly that, see that no one knows about this, but they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. So Jesus was able to speak and say, according to your faith, let it be done to you, and they were healed. So it was through the spoken word again that healing happened. And then Jesus himself was tested in the wilderness. He went into the wilderness and he spent 40 days in there, 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. He was tired. He was in a weakened condition. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, the spoken word of God. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put God to the test. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I skipped a space. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. So in order for Jesus to withstand Satan's temptation, even in his weakened state, Jesus speaks God's words aloud. He doesn't think them. He doesn't pray them. He speaks them out loud. That's where the power is. Finally, Jesus used God's spoken word to instruct people. So after his temptations and in the wilderness and the angels ministered to him, Jesus instructs the 12 disciples in Matthew 10. And it's a little bit long, so I'm going to read it. Matthew 10. Okay. It's, I don't know if I want to read it off there or here. He called, this was right after they, that he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So he's giving them the power. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Good morning. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received and freely given. Freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So he's giving them instruction through his spoken word. And it's through what he's modeling for us to be good disciples. So it's the spoken word used to instruct. And then he instructs Nicodemus through God's word. And Nicodemus was the ruler of Jews. He was a man of the Pharisees. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it came from, and whither it goeth. So if is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hate the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And Jesus tells his disciples that relying on God's word is crucial to pleasing God and making disciples. John the Baptist testifies that for whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. So if you are of God, you're going to speak God's words, and you're not, and for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So the Father loved the Son and hath given all things into his hands, that he believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. So Jesus instructs Nicodemus in the way of salvation through that piece of scripture. And Jesus instructs the woman at the well. I am the bread of life, he said. Wait a minute, I think I skipped a space. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So Jesus is God, so speaking, he is speaking the word of God. And lastly, we had communion today, and Jesus instructed the believers about communion. He said that I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So he's using this for instruction. He's trying to teach them. And these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Jesus is the bread of life, and you can only access the Father through him. This teaching is retaught every week, just like we did this morning in churches around the world as we take communion and remember why Jesus is atonement for our sin. And my third and final point on the power in the spoken word of God is the power of speaking in tongues. And since today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter Sunday, the Christians celebrate the birth of the church through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the birthday of the church. And it also coincided with the Jews' celebration of the Feast of Weeks. Described in Leviticus, the Feast of Weeks is the second of the three solemn feasts that all Jewish males were required to travel to Jerusalem to attend. And so they come, and it's also called the Feast of the First Fruits. And so they come and they have two loaves of bread that they sacrifice. They have a burnt offering as well, but they bring two loaves of bread, one to represent the Gentiles and one to represent the Jews. And so they come, and God knew that all of the Jewish people would be, the males, would be traveling to Jerusalem for this week of feasts. And so they required a first fruits offering to be made at the temple as a way of expressing thanksgiving for God's provision. So kind of like for the spring harvest, they came. And so in Acts 2, it tells of the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost. So the Jews were there to witness this birth of the Christian church. So I'm going to read from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galatians?" Now, Galatians were kind of the blue-collar workers. They weren't a place of intellect, so they were amazed, like, how do they know our language? They wouldn't have had time to study other languages. "Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, I'm terrible about names, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." So then Peter steps up and he addresses the crowd. Now remember, Peter is the rock on which Christ was going to build the church. So Peter said, he stood up with the 11. They had already replaced Judas as the 12th disciple or apostle. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Follow, Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over by you, by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One seek decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, and nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers this day. The power of speaking in tongues edifies the believer through a prayer language with God. The speaking in tongues for a group of people is to edify the church, but it depends on having an interpreter. Otherwise, it creates chaos. All who seek the gift of tongues will be granted, as it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. A listing of the gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts, is in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10. It mentions wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And all these gifts are designed to build God's kingdom. So to conclude, God's word is powerful. His words, his spoken words, are powerful. To speak it, his words are transforming in your life and the lives of those you touch. So try reading your scripture verses aloud as you study God's word. I never thought of doing that before. And somebody, I was listening to someone and they said, try speaking them out loud. There's power in the spoken word. And so I've been trying to, I hear my husband out on the porch reading out loud God's word. And I'm like, well, he's doing it. It must be working because he's still doing it. So I'm going to try it. And it is transforming. It is transforming just hearing that word out loud, spoken out loud. And once you've done it, you're going to be like, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. So God knows your thoughts. He knows your needs. He knows your worries. So why do we need to speak it out? Because he wants that relationship with us. He knows all those things, but he wants us to come to him. He wants us to talk to him, to have that relationship. I have a relationship with my husband, and he doesn't mind read. Trust me, he does not mind read. So I speak to him, and he speaks to me, and we have that relationship. And it's the same relationship that God wants with us. He wants that spoken word. And so he used Jesus on earth to model that, because Jesus quoted God's word throughout his life as a model. So peace go with you this week, and may God bless you and your family.